It's time for the Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. It's Tuesday, January 25th, 2022. On our ship schedule today, we have one inbound vessel, we have eight outbounders, and we have a dozen ships waiting to go upriver to pick up cargo. Our first arrival and only arrival so far in the river, the ship schedule can change during the day, but this is what we know about so far this morning, is the American Freedom. She is a petroleum tanker carrying refined petroleum, arriving from Port Angeles, Washington, headed for Portland. And she'll probably pass Astoria in the evening, so our only inbound vessel will be in the evening after dark. 8:30 p.m. past Astoria, you might see her in Portland at about 2:30 a.m. on Wednesday morning. And in terms of ships awaiting orders, we have the Navigare Beatus. She's a container ship that is outside the river right now waiting to come in to go up to the port of Portland. The CK Bluebell is awaiting orders in the Astoria anchorage. The Cape Race is also awaiting orders. The Renaissance, the PMS Steinbach, the Ephraim, and the Nord Copenhagen, the Mamma Mia, the Ken Yeo, the Ariba, the Semtex or Chemtex Diligence. Those are all the ships waiting in our Astoria and Rice Island anchorages, and they're all awaiting the orders to head upriver to berths to pick up cargo. So a lot of them are wheat carriers. We do have that one container ship that is steaming around, I believe, if I'm reading this correctly, outside off the mouth of the river waiting to come in. And she's just waiting for a berth to open up at the port of Portland, which won't take very long. So there is no big backup here on the Columbia River for container ships as there is in other places in the world. And other places even here on the West Coast. In outbounders, we have the Supernova leaving Portland with potash on board at about 3 a.m. She could pass Astoria outbound around 9 a.m. Well, as the global supply chain mess continues, with ships backed up in ports around the world, the supply chain is about to endure another slowdown. And it's one that's going to start in about a week. It's a delay that happens every year, but this year especially, many businesses may be ill-prepared to handle it, and that's Chinese New Year. Chinese New Year, also referred to as Lunar New Year or Spring Festival, is one of the most significant cultural celebrations in China, and the movement of people visiting family during that time in such a populous country creates the biggest annual mass migration in the world. This means lots of people on vacation there, and few people will be working anywhere in the country, especially at ports handling cargo during that time. This year, Chinese New Year will fall on Tuesday, February 1st, starting a year of the tiger. Celebrations of Chinese New Year traditionally last for 16 days, beginning from Chinese New Year's Eve to the Lantern Festival. This year, that span is from January 31st to February 15th. As a public holiday, Chinese people will get 7 days off from work from January 31st to February 6th. But even if Chinese New Year is officially just a 7-day public holiday in China, the break in production for Chinese-based suppliers, contract manufacturers, and their partners can last a month. During this time, almost everything shuts down, including the government and factories, while ports and customs usually operate with minimum staff, focusing on perishable cargoes and other priority items. Add to that the Winter Olympic Games in Beijing beginning on February 3rd, and the internal demands for goods that entails within the country. The business world outside of China can expect few shipments out of Chinese ports, possibly for the next couple of months. Chinese New Year is like Christmas or Thanksgiving in other cultures around the world in the sense that it's a big deal for families and lots of travel happens. It's the family reunion event of the year there. People around the country travel to visit parents who often live in rural villages while they work in industrial cities. This mass migration means that seats on trains and buses are sold out months before. As far as the impact on the global supply chain during Chinese New Year, we can expect that businesses will be shut down for 10 days or more. This occurs every year, and there's no way to avoid it. But unlike Christmas, the specific date varies from year to year, and ordinarily, businesses would have built up inventory prior to this and would have been wise to do so this time as well. But with all the supply chain problems already in place, it's not clear how many businesses have really been able to shore themselves up for this occurrence this year. Before Omicron came into the picture, it looked like prices for containers in the worldwide shipping arena were kind of coming down and calming down, and that the supply chain mess might be starting to ease by now. And even though the ships outside of California ports have become the iconic images of supply chain problems, now the more serious and prolonged tangles have been in land transport. Omicron absences have affected the availability of truck drivers big time, and that is happening throughout many business sectors, but that's one way in which it's affecting shipping particularly. And because the containers are not moving faster, ships on global routes are waiting in port or sailing slower to conserve port charges. And by sailing slower, ships save a whole lot of money in fuel, because as they slow down, they just don't have to slow down very much to save a lot of fuel. So it's not a direct relationship there. And just as the ship slows down, they can start to use much less fuel, which is one of the big, big expenses for ships. Ships and personnel are the two big expenses for cargo ships. So a bit more about ships and fuel. This is kind of interesting. When ships slow down from their sea speed that they're designed for, their full sea speed, which can be about 27 knots for a container ship, they can slow down to something called slow steaming, 18 to 20 knots, or even extra slow steaming, 15 to 18 knots. For example, when a vessel reduces its speed by 10%, the engine power gets reduced by nearly 30%. Less power needed means less fuel is used. So when there is less fuel used, there's less emissions produced and released into the environment. So the end result of slow steaming is less pollution, but it also uses a lot less fuel. So in addition to reducing emissions, the reduction in speed brings with it a reduction in fuel costs. So in a scenario where a container ship would normally use 200 tons of fuel over the course of a normal day, isn't that amazing? That's a lot of fuel. Going at 24 knots, slow steaming at 21 knots a day would bring that fuel consumption down to around 125 tons for the day. So a significant reduction in fuel use with not that much reduction in speed. Now, slow steaming, because ships are designed to go at a certain speed, slow steaming requires adjustments to the ship's engines. It's a process or a procedure called derating the engine to go with the new speed of maybe about 70% of its normal power level. And that can involve timing of fuel injection, adjusting exhaust valves, and exchanging other mechanical components in the engine. So it's not a simple thing, but for ships, it can save a lot of money and have benefits for the environment. Now experts say that the supply chain mess might start to ease in the second half of this year, if there are no new variants to throw things off balance again. So let's keep our fingers crossed for that. Information in this report came from Forbes magazine and the Financial Times. And the information about fuel consumption came from containerexchange.com and transportgeography.org. You've been listening to The Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.